Marty, did you bring a sack lunch today, or are you just hanging out?
I'm just hanging out, that waiting works. On my accountant to call me and say, okay, we're ready.
That's right.
Sign papers and give me money.
Bring it all. Today is tax day.
You're waiting. Fill whatever money you have, put it in here and bring it.
You're waiting till the last day to get your taxes done. Are you kidding?
Oh, she is joking.
I'm not joking. I did turn it in earlier, but the man's got lots of people who rely on him. So.
Wow. Scare me out of my pants.
Nah, well,
good for you, Marty.
Making me feel real good, but you know what? I just keep trying to keep my eye on
Marty. Just
he never lets me down, so I know he'll do it.
Just go get a loan from the county. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It should
free
be
free money for everybody, right?
Yeah.
You don't
get
no
I wonder
interest.
If I paid my taxes 10 years in advance, I'd get it cut a whole lot.
Well, that's an interesting point, because that's what you all discussed last night, and you were
actually what you did,
right.
Even though you didn't vote for it, but that's what they
Marty
did.
Marty Hawk, the only dissenting vote last night, as the county to pay for the dispatch system. Says in the headline here, while negotiations continue, tell us what went on at your meeting last night, and tell us what was decided on and what negotiations are continuing.
Okay, the negotiations that are continuing is between the county and the city. Hello, what does it take to get those people together to sit down at the table and get an interlocal?
Marty,
not $1 million, obviously.
And what incentive is there for the city to work well with us
when
we've already paid it and agreed to pay it 10 years in advance?
According to the mayoral candidates they're running, they don't see anything wrong with what's going on between the city and the county.
Well,
you know, I want to go and scream at them and say, you know, okay, it sounds to me like you guys take advantage every time you get a chance.
Well, and I'm not sitting there in those meetings, so maybe there's a whole lot more than what meets the eye. But one of the things that happened last night was that the county council de-appropriated the money that was to go to the city, $226,480. Now, that may just be something to make the council feel a little better right now, since that interlocal agreement is not in place, because you know, obviously, the county commissioners feel like they can sign whatever, and the county council will just have to jump to and do whatever the county commissioners say, which is what happened with this 10-year prepayment plan. The commissioners, for whatever reason, did not have included in that agreement with that maintenance plan for our central dispatch, did not include that required paragraph that said it was subject to funding. Everything the county commissioners, everything they put their name on is subject to appropriation by the county
Marty,
council.
Marty, I have a question for you. Is that something, if that's required, why doesn't our county council know that, and why aren't they doing it? And maybe it's time for some, I mean, after I read this article, I was like, the whole legal counsel for the county ought just be fired.
Well, I'm not in charge of firing, and remember, it's not the council attorney who put together this agreement.
Who was it?
Well, it was the commissioner's attorney. And
well, I meant that's what I was referring to.
It's probably pretty important if you're the person that's sitting in the seat. If you're unhappy with somebody, let's make sure we know who to be unhappy
with. Well, I thought
with.
They were all part of the same group, though. They aren't?
Well, I mean, the city attorney, I believe, was also involved in all the way through with it having to do with central dispatch.
But this has been multiple issues we've had with our legal counsel of things like this, that where they put in place stuff that you know, we go back and say, well, didn't anybody read the contract?
Well,
I mean, this has been multiple
things.
When
they actually voted on this to do the 10-year contract, was in November of 2013, and yesterday I went back and listened to that meeting again, and I didn't hear anyone ask, is that in there? I didn't hear anyone say it is or is not in there. But part of what had been sent to me earlier, because I questioned that, was that it was a part of the packet before the meeting, at least, but it didn't show it in the contract. I'd really like to see the... I suppose it's too late now. They've already done it. I'm telling you, so they're saying, okay, well, Stillman could sue us. Well, hello. Go ahead and sue us. Do you think we're not getting going to get sued all over the place for this 25-year moratorium kind of thing? I mean, we've got four county attorneys, so let Spillman sue us. That's what I would have done. I would have just said, look, if they really feel so strongly that they had a case, we'll see them in court.
Marty, I have read some of this contract because someone on the online presence actually pasted part of the contract on here, and it sounds like there was some room for you guys to do something different than what you did. Now, I don't know if you've read the contract, but
I read a contract at one point that had it in there. You know what? I read a lot of contracts, so I'm not saying I haven't memorized from 2013.
Oh, heavens, no, I didn't expect that.
But I am saying that any time you have a contract that is signed by the county commissioners that includes financial responsibilities, that requires, the state requires it to be tied to an appropriation by the county council. It's a part of the checks and balances. It seems to me what we have right now is county commissioners who meet in their little room where no one else can get into.
That's obvious.
They won't let the cameras be rolling in there. They make decisions in there as they have been doing for quite some time. Then it's a done deal. And in the meantime, the county council has been debating now for how long? Do we want to do the 10-year, the 5-year, the 1-year prepayment on this contract for services? And I'm saying, hey, the State Board of Accounts says no. And they're saying, oh, well, we'll ignore the State Board of Accounts. And I'm not saying all the council said that, but that's part of what we were being told. And in the entire time, the commissioners had to be sitting there thinking, yeah, well, you're spinning your wheels because we already stuck you with this thing.
I'm sure
that at the bottom line is what it really was. Commissioners just sent their person out to say, look, we've already signed the contract and we did it back in 2013. And if you don't do this, we're going to get sued. And so now the county council felt like their feet were held to the fire and we were forced to do it. Commissioners did not even show up for our meeting.
I wondered about that. I was going to ask you. Did they defend
anything?
They do not
work with the council well at all, and that has got to stop. They've got to start having. We need to have the kind of summit meetings that many years ago we used to have between the city and the county and Ellettsville.
Maybe they don't want to meet with you.
Well, that may very well be. They're going
they
to
just
do
say
their
no.
thing, but until the council calls their bluff on it, they're going to keep doing it.
Our guest this morning is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She checks in every Wednesday morning to get us caught up on county government, and she's doing so today. The one angle on this that I don't understand is why the angle that I don't know how to put this. The whole well, you're going to get sued. Well, what are they going to find out? That the terms of the deal, if they sue you, doesn't that tell you the terms of the deal aren't good?
Well, it seems to me that they should have known that it was subject to council approval, subject to funding being available. They signed such a contract with another county in another state, and it was clearly on that contract in the other state. So it wasn't as if the people who do negotiations for Spillman wasn't aware that it's the kind of thing that you'll find on contracts.
With the government, sure.
Absolutely. So to have the, I think that what we could have really made a case was, even though the other terms of the contract could be enforceable, the payment at such a without funding available is not enforceable because they don't have the authority to do it. The commissioners do not have the authority,
Marty,
to
pay
something.
What I guess I don't understand is from what I read, it looks to me like you could have obligated yourself to the maintenance contract, but the 10-year prepayment was not a necessity.
Oh, well, okay. We sign multiple-year contracts more than just one time. But you don't pay for them 10 years in advance or 5 years in advance.
That's my point.
That's the part that is a problem, and that's what we cannot find any other entity, taxing entity, in the entire state who has done this. And so we're out there on a limb, and no wonder the city didn't want to sign on that with us after the State Board of Accounts said don't do it. I mean, we're just going to go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. State Board of Accounts will just write it. And you're right, Glass. What does it matter? Let's just keep messing up. But, you know, there are reasons why they have these rules at the state to keep us from making mistakes. However, I want to move on because that is already done.
Yeah.
They're going to get the check. We just have to make the best of it. And it might
you be got enough
the
money
best
to cover
thing
that?
Ever.
You got enough money to cover that in the general fund?
Well, yes, there is enough money. And then before you turn around, they'll
are
say,
we, have
well,
a
we need to go borrow more money.
We're going to have a bake sale this weekend, a car wash.
Well, speaking of more money, tonight is the meeting for, well, first of all, let me say that the tax bills, I've been told, have been mailed. So watch your mailbox. You'll probably get your tax bill that will be sent out from the treasurer's office yet today. And that will give you reason to know why we should all be concerned about how your elected officials are spending your dollars and if it's responsible. That's one thing. The other thing, we did get back our circuit breaker, the kind of tax credits that locals will be receiving. And it also means if they're getting a break on their taxes, it simply means that's how much they don't have to pay if it's more than 1% of their residence value, then they don't have to pay it. Nobody else has to pay it, and it's just a loss to the taxing units. How can we avoid having that loss? That means the way to do it is to have more people help pay those taxes. And doing that, that means we have to have more assessed value. So that brings me to tonight's meeting, which is the Redevelopment Commission for Richland Township and or the county's Redevelopment Commission meeting. And that's where they're talking about extending the life of that taxing district for the tax increment, capturing all that assessed value, to extend it another, it looks like it's going to be another maybe 15 years on top of where we are. Well, right now it's supposed to expire in 2024, but they're talking about it going much further out than that. So I met with our school superintendent, Richland Beanblossom, as well as members of the board, and they'll be at the meeting tonight to implore the RDC not to move forward with this. 62 cents of every dollar that is captured to go inside that Richland TIF is tied to our school tax rate. So if they would release that assessed value and bring it back over into especially the 60-some percent that's being subsidized by Richland and Beanblossom taxpayers, it not only would reduce our tax rates for our school over there, which we have the highest tax rates in the county for our school, because we don't have a lot of assessed value. I mean, Bloomington Schools, Monroe County Schools, has over $6 billion in assessed value, where we have $700-some million in assessed value. So you can see why the tax rates are so much different. But in addition to which, if they released all of that assessed value as of, we have to use today's numbers because how else would you do it, it really would mean $300-some thousand extra every year into the school district's capital projects fund, and so that would pay for utilities and building repairs and so forth. Now, I know that even if they would release a portion of it, it might not be that much projected, but it is important for people to know that without any increase in taxes whatsoever, they just move that assessed value over, we will receive more help for our school and pay it less in taxes as well. So it is something that people in Richland and Beanblossom school districts need to be watching, and I'm really happy that our people from our school district are going to be showing up at tonight's meeting. I understand the need for dollars in that district to continue to grow the infrastructure, but you know, TIFs were never meant to last for an eternity. It's supposed to be a specific amount of time to put in the infrastructure, grow the assessed value, and then turn that back over. And it is time for them to make certain that they're not doing something to extend the life. The way they have to, what they have to do to extend the life is they have to have a bond signed and in place before July 1. So this is on a fast track to get this done. And we had some members of the RDC the other night say, oh, do you mean this would reduce the tax rate? It not only reduces the tax rate for the people outside of the TIP, it reduces them drastically for the ones inside the TIP. All of those businesses, the Baxter, the Cooks, all of the people who are paying the Richland Township total rate, which includes for the school and the county and the library and everything, all of those people are paying that higher rate.
Okay, Marty, I think you make a good case for this, but who's in favor of this? Because somebody's got to be in favor of it if they're trying to push this through.
Well, of course, the commissioners would be in favor of it because that puts more money into our public works department. And I understand that. I do understand that. So
but they have
all
this money in the act. You have all this money. You don't need that.
Well, I'm just saying this is a balancing act because I understand our public works department could use the money. And I, you know, I put on my county hat and I understand that. But I put on my hat that says I'm representing my district, and I say, look, I believe we've been pretty good team players over here. Paying 60% of every dollar you're collecting is tied to our school tax rate, so people in Richland and Bean Blossom have been really pretty good team players paying this extra high tax for our school because of the TIP. Now, we might not have had that extra value on there if we hadn't had the TIP, but we've had it. It's done its job. Let it just play out the rest of its time, and don't extend the time.
But if the only people who are for this are the commissioners, I don't see how. I mean, do you really think that the problem is that citizens aren't just like coming over there with pitchforks?
I think that people in general do not understand how tax rates and levies are figured, and how the money is tied to those tax rates and levies. And, you know, I would think that the CEOs in these buildings over in this tax increment finance area should be looking at what would happen with their taxes if this assessed value was released.
I'm just kind of surprised that the Cooks and the Baxters and the folks involved with that haven't made any plea to the Redevelopment Commission to knock it off.
Well, and they may be fine with it. You know, they may be fine with it. But I, you know, I am representing John Q. Public out there who maybe they've got a $200,000 house and, you know, but if we reduce that tax rate dramatically, they could save, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars a year on their taxes. That may not sound like a lot to some folks, but it's a lot to.
It is a lot to most families, I think.
To most families. So somebody has to raise that, and that's what I'll continue to do. And not only is it important to give some property tax relief back, and remember, even that will be another 10 years, but somebody has to worry about someone's grandchildren. Even if I don't have any, somebody has to.
Just pass the buck. You'll be fine. Pass it on down the line. Kick the can on down the road.
It's
happened for 250 years. Why would it stop now?
You're fighting the good fight. I don't even know what to
say. Marty, good job as always. We appreciate your time. When is that RDC meeting again?
It's at 4:30, and I believe that you may have some, once the information is presented to the people at the RDC, we're talking about Barry Lesso, and we're talking about Doug Duncan, and we're talking I'm trying to think of some of the other members. Jimmy Durnell represents Richland Bean Blossom Schools, and so he'll be there this evening. And we're talking about Don Moore, and those are, and Jim Tolan. They are members of this group. So
that's the redevelopment.
So So it is really important that they get the message this evening, and they may very well say, well, just a minute, let me give this some more thought. Also, Efrat Fierfman, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I think she works for the city. She's on that board. And then, of course, we have a lot of city representation who's sitting on the board.
All right, Marty, good job as always. We'll get caught up with you next Wednesday to see if any of these developments have moved forward. We'll figure that out by then, but we'll get your thoughts on it next week.
Thank you.